In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. I was very touched, moved, and edified by Annie's sermon last Sunday. So if you'll forgive me a bit of thievery, I'd like to pick up on a concept that Annie brought up in her sermon last week with a demon-possessed man nicknamed Legion that Jesus heals, sending the demons into the herd of pigs. I'd like to pick up on a concept and run with it a little more today. Annie shared from Metropolitan Anthony Bloom, emphasizing how Jesus dropped everything to give total focus to this suffering individual, this devastated shell of a man. It didn't matter his category, his sex, age, race, religion, or any of the other qualifications we humans like to lump each other into. Jesus took him into his full attention, face to face, eye to eye, person to person, recognizing and restoring his humanity. And I bring this truth up again today, one, because of how important it is that that message sink down in our hearts to know deeply that Jesus Christ drops everything to attend to you in your suffering as you are. And two, because it happens over and over and over again with Jesus in the Gospels. Today's reading of the paralytic being brought to Jesus by four friends. In Matthew's gospel, it comes right after last Sunday's reading with the demon-possessed man and the pigs. What I mean is, as you read Matthew's, today's story is the very next passage, the very next verse from last week's story. Most Sundays don't do that. Most Sundays skips ahead. There's a gap to allow for the midweek readings. These two Sundays come right after each other. The church squished them together on purpose. After Jesus heals the demon-possessed man that we heard about last week, he goes back to Capernaum, and he's teaching a huge crowd in someone's house. And four friends bring a paralyzed man to Jesus. And we know from Mark's gospel, they actually had to lower the man down through the roof. So big was the crowd. And what do you know? Jesus has this big crowd and he's teaching. He stops teaching. He stops what he's doing. He pauses. He drops everything and turns his attention 100% to this paralyzed man being brought into his presence. And Jesus looks at him and he sees the man fully, face to face, eye to eye, person to person. And Jesus doesn't care about peripherals or categories. Jesus sees the person. Jesus sees him. And Jesus sees what the person most needs. And first, Jesus heals him spiritually. He forgives the man for all the ways that he is off the mark. Now, being paralyzed in that society could not have been easy. And living in his condition undoubtedly would have done a number on his soul to be paralyzed for all those years. And without besmirching the man's character with too much speculation, I think we can safely suspect that he probably fell into despair and hopelessness, maybe some unbridled anger or faithlessness, at least from time to time. I can't believe there wasn't some deep darkness on this man's wounded soul. And my evidence for that is this. It's not often in a healing that Jesus stops to say out loud the part about forgiving the ways a person is off the mark. For Jesus to say, "Your sins are forgiven," is very rare. It's actually very rare, but this time he does. And Jesus precedes that by saying, "Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer." There's a reason this man is getting this message when most of the time people don't. Perhaps this man with a paralyzed body also had a heavy and paralyzed soul to go with it. And Jesus would know that. And Jesus would know what the man needed most and wanted most and what would help him the most. Jesus saw the person behind the category paralyzed man and saw someone with a dark heart and brought light to the man's life once again. Most people can deal with their physical ailments well enough if their inner spirit is in good shape. For this paralyzed man, his soul was what was off the mark and needed healing and forgiveness first. And now the scribes, they get all bent out of shape when Jesus claims to forgive sins, which is to say to restore the ways this man is off the mark. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, then completes the healing of the man by healing his body too. And everyone's amazed, and the complainers are put to shame. But the main lesson is that Jesus saw the man as he was, as a specific and lovable yet wounded individual. And Jesus dropped everything to attend to him in his situation. Now, what does Jesus do next? We didn't get the reading this morning, but if you read one more verse, Jesus leaves the house with his disciples and a crowd, part of the crowd starts following him, and he's walking with his crowd, and he goes by a tax office, and he sees a fella named Matthew working there. Of course, stops. He stops, drops everything to attend to a person in his situation. Now, tax collectors in those days were traitors, they were corrupt, they were hated. It was a horrible life to get yourself into. It was a hard life to get out of. What Matthew needed most was to be rescued. He needed a lifeline. And Jesus sees that because he sees Matthew as a person. He doesn't see Matthew as a tax collector. He sees Matthew as a person, as a person. And Jesus offers Matthew that lifeline, come, follow me. And Matthew, so eager for a new life, doesn't even hesitate. Three stories in a row, Jesus stops what he's doing to attend to someone in need. The demon-possessed man among the pigs, the paralyzed man brought by four friends, and a tax collector named Matthew. Now, some might debate which of these three had it worse. Now, Matthew had plenty of money, but was hated by everyone, likely disowned by his own family, and he knows he brought it on himself. He has no one to blame but himself for his situation. The demon-possessed man among the pigs, he had nothing. People even tried to chain him up. The paralyzed man in today's story, at least he had friends who cared. But on the other hand, he's the only one Jesus pronounces forgiveness first and says, be happy. He must have had quite the wounded and off-mark soul. In the end, of course, it doesn't matter. The question of which person had it worse than the others is a distraction. It's a distraction. We sometimes do that when we ourselves are hurting. We say, I shouldn't feel that bad. Others have it worse than I do. That line of thinking is a dead-end road. It's a dead-end road. And I'm not saying we should go around feeling sorry for ourselves all the time. But what I am saying is when you are hurting, and when you are in genuine need, and when your soul is dark or off the mark, Jesus will find you where you are. Christ drops everything to attend to you in your hour of need. Even if, like, on the one hand, you're like Matthew who brought it on yourself, or if you're like the paralytic and it happened to you, Jesus will find you where you are. And finally, I want to say that those who have experienced the healing of Jesus Christ, you who have put on Christ in baptism, are capable and gifted to extend this healing attention to others. We heard in Romans today that Mary read for us, having received grace, be kindly affectionate to one another in love. Having received, we are then gifted to give. When someone crosses your path in their hour of need, you can attend to them. You can attend to them even for a moment as if they are the only person in the world to you. That is your gift to give. It's a precious gift to give. You've been given that grace. You've experienced what that affection and love feels like inbound, and you're now gifted to give that grace to someone else. With Christ, it doesn't matter your category, your sex, your age, your race, your religion, socioeconomic status, health, any of those other qualifications we humans like to lump each other into. In your hour of need, Jesus takes you into his full attention, face to face, eye to eye, person to person. He sees you, just you. Amen.